Most of the Proverbs were written by Solomon, but the last two chapters are the words of two men. Chapter 30 contains the sayings of one Agur. These are inspired scriptures, so let's look at 10 examples of great wisdom for today from Proverbs chapter 30. Let's begin with verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. Verse 5 says that God's words are pure. They are true. God will never lie. He says what is right. You can and you should trust Him. When you do, He will protect you. God is your shield. Now, of course, when bad things happen to you, you may wonder why a verse like this is written. But remember that God doesn't keep us from every pain or tragedy in life. For instance, if you have children, you protect them. But you let them gradually have more space. Sometimes they fall and they get hurt, but you're still a protective parent. Think of it in this way. How much more hardship would you have if you didn't trust in God, if He were not your protector? But look at verse 6. This is a familiar warning in the Bible. Don't add to what God said. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, and Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 tell us not to add to or take from what the Bible says. False teachers add to His word when they say that they have writings or visions that God gave them in addition to the Bible. But we can do this in a practical sense when we don't listen to God. We can be guilty of trying to add our own wisdom to God's word, and that's twisting what He said. If someone adds to what you said, and changes what you intended to say, you'd say that that person lied about what you actually said. It's the same way with God's word, except that it's even more serious. Verses 8 and 9. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. If you ask Agur whether it's better to be rich or poor, he'd say, "I'd rather be neither. I'd prefer to be somewhere in between." He says, "Don't give me poverty or riches. Just give me enough." Agur says there's a temptation in either situation. For instance, if a man has everything that he wants, he can easily become prideful. He can deceive himself into thinking that he has the power to take care of all of his needs without anybody's help, even God's help. He can become so independent that he forgets God. God warned the Israelites about this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the Christians at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 for this attitude. But Agur said, this pride can get so bad that a rich person looks down on God and even denies Him. So he didn't want this temptation. On the other hand, Agur didn't want to be poor because he might be tempted to steal. This doesn't teach that a poor man must steal any more than it teaches that all rich men are arrogant and deny God. Our environment does not make us do wrong. But still, we'd prefer not to have the pressure if we can avoid it. Agur didn't want to feel the temptation to steal. So he says, I don't want to be rich or poor, because a rich man can be arrogant toward others, and a poor man, on the other hand, can be so jealous that he turns to crime. A rich man can disrespect God because he has so much, but a poor man can resent God because he doesn't have enough. Our next example is in verse 19. Here's where the writer says there are some things that he does not understand. Verse 19, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a virgin. Agur uses many illustrations from nature and everyday life in this chapter. Here, he gives some things that intrigued and puzzled him, and he mentions them to build his point, which he makes at the end. The first one is an eagle flying. What an incredible sight. How does he soar so high, so gracefully? The second one, a snake on the rock. Just the way that a snake moves is an amazing thing. The third example is a ship at sea. It is so small compared to a vast ocean, and yet it sails through it. Now the point he's leading up to, a man and a woman. And here, a woman that the man has no right to be with. Evidently, this is not his bride-to-be, whom he's betrothed, but a female that he's trying to pursue for the wrong reason, just to have sexual relations with her. He'll do things that he would never do in other situations. He'll do foolish things. He'll act like a completely different person. And Agur said, "This is a mystery to me." Now, verse 20. You see, Agur didn't leave out a woman who's immoral. What is an adulterous woman like? Verse 20 says, "This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, 'I have done no wickedness.'" Committing adultery to her is as common as eating a meal. It's just part of her life. How does she feel about what she's doing? She just says, "Well, I haven't done anything wrong." Now, doesn't that sound like some people today? There are people who are guilty of this sin who say, "It's not wrong if it makes me happy." Others make excuses and try to justify what they've done. They say, "Well, I was having trouble in my marriage," or "I was lonely." And that may be true, but it's still wrong. The Bible says that we should be honest and admit that we sinned, not try to cover it up and deny it. Now let's read verse 22 and 23 and look at four things that the earth cannot bear. Verse 22, "For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress." The first intolerable situation is a servant who reigns, a person who's been told what to do and now suddenly he's telling other people what to do. A man like this is unbearable. He doesn't know how to lead and manage other people. He'll make a wreck of things, and he'll be overbearing with people that he's in charge of. The second is a fool with his belly full. He's foolish to begin with, but when he's satisfied and full, he'll be even more disrespectful. He's obnoxious, he's rude, and he's offensive. It may be hard to accept this, but it's better for some people to be hungry than to be full. The third unbearable situation is a hateful woman who is married. Nobody understands this better than her husband. A wife like this won't let anybody be happy. She loves to complain and quarrel and criticize and irritate her husband and her children. Her constant, negative, bitter spirit makes life miserable for everybody. No wonder Solomon said that it's better to live in a desert than with a woman like this, Proverbs 21, verse 19. The fourth is a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. The King James and American Standard have "heir to her mistress." Like the servant who reigns, she's used to taking orders, and now she's in a position of authority. Any resentment that she kept underneath while she served this other woman would come out in the worst kind of way. Verse 32, "If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth." What should you do when you realize that you've been proud, that you've acted pridefully with other people? Or what if you've thought about doing something wrong? The Bible says, put your hand on your mouth. Stop it before it goes any further. If you're thinking about it, catch it and get it out of your heart before you say or do something wrong. And if you've been prideful with other people, be humble. Learn to apologize. Don't argue and defend yourself. Be quiet and meek, not competitive and always trying to be right. Verse 33, "For as the churning of milk produces butter, and wringing the nose produces blood, so the forcing of wrath produces strife." Here is another good proverb about how to deal with other people. What happens when you churn milk? It makes butter. What happens when you wring the nose? It bleeds. So what happens when you provoke people to anger? You cause arguing and fighting. It's not good to aggravate and irritate other people, intentionally or unintentionally. It's not wise to be harsh with other people. If you know that you're going to make people mad unnecessarily, especially over things that don't matter much, then it's best to avoid it. And that's wisdom for your day from Proverbs chapter 30.